Amen. Amen. Luke, the 15th chapter is where I'd like to read to you from. Got something on my heart here I'd like to talk to us about. Luke chapter 15. Let's begin reading around verse 25. Let's look at verse 25 and following. Very, very familiar scriptures. Luke, the 15th chapter, deals with three different parables of lost things. When we get to verse 25, Jesus is telling the story. He says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Praise God. Some time ago, God began to deal with me about this elder brother, and I'll just tell you, it's in a time of private study, private devotion, just me and God. God got to talking to me, and I seen too much of this elder brother alive and well inside of me. God got to talking to me about this elder brother, and I feel like God shared some things with me that I'd like to share with you here tonight. If you'll get in here and help me a little bit, it'll be easier on all of us. But I know the Lord's going to stand by me. I felt like I heard from him today. And he's going to help me, praise God. So let's just get in and let's talk about this elder brother together for a little while. Would you lift your hands and pray? Pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost come down and help us to please God.
Lord, will you come in the name of Jesus?
He'll give you all the glory for what's done. Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated for a little while if you'd like. I wanted to know when God began to deal with me about this, just who it was. I think sometimes it's important. It's important for me to get an understanding. You know, this is not false humility, so don't take it that way. But I understand there's a lot of people a whole lot smarter than I am. But I'm glad God can speak to anybody that wants to hear from him. And he can speak just plain old country boy talk, just so plain that anybody can understand it. And that's how he speaks to me. And I wanted to understand just who it was. I felt like it was important for me to understand who it was that Christ was immediately talking to that day when he began with these three separate parables about lost things in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. You'll look with me at Luke, the 15th chapter, and verse 1. The Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Amen. And then the verse 2 said, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so like sometimes our preaching in this generation, Christ had one congregation there that day, but there was two distinct groups in that one congregation. There was sinners there that were lost, that recognized and understood just how lost they were. But there was something about the words of this man Jesus. It had a drawing ability. It's like he put a hook in their heart and began to draw them and woo them unto himself. It didn't matter to Christ if they were paupers or poor or if they are princes and kings. Amen. He had a word for every one of them. And now those sinners felt compelled to come to him, understanding that he understood them. He knew where they were, and he spoke with such power, and he spoke with such authority. And I'm reminded just now of what he said. He said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that was a part of the drawing power of Christ. There's sinners was there, but listen, there's another group there revealed to us in verse 2. The Bible said there were Pharisees and scribes in that crowd that day that murmured. They began to complain that Christ was receiving these sinners. In reality, listen, we're looking back. We have hindsight and we can see crystal clear. We understand something about that day that these scribes and Pharisees did not understand. They too were sinners. They too were lost, but they could not see just how lost they really were. Can you say amen? They were sinful and unrighteous, just like the publicans and the sinners. But because of their outward show, their rituals, amen, the washing of pots and pans and the putting on of apparel, they felt like they were above, amen, the ordinary man. Come on here. And so there's two groups in that one congregation. And Jesus began in Luke the 15th chapter by talking about the lost sheep. He said in verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And he said, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he gets home, he begins to call his friends and his neighbors together, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then he introduced us to a woman, amen, that had 10 pieces of silver in verse 8. He said, if she lose one piece, and she lights a candle and sweeps the house and seeks diligently till she finds it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Amen. Amen. Twice in that text, once, amen, in verse 7 and again in verse 10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. He is teaching a divine principle that it would do us good sometimes to slow down and remember. Amen. The value of lost things always outweighs the value of things that have never been lost. The value of the lost always in the kingdom of God, in the heart of God, outweighs those things that are not lost. He talked about, amen, the man that would leave the 99 in the safety of the fold and go up into the mountains out in the wilderness and search till he find it. And he talked about the woman. Amen. Listen, that sheep was lost because it wandered off from the safety of the rest of the flock. But that coin was lost in the house. Come on now. Hey, but thank God, he said, there's some light in the house.
She lit a candle and she began to sweep the house. And she searched diligently until she found it.
Then he introduces us to this third parable, the one I'd really like to talk to us about. Amen. The parable of the lost son. He said a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Not many days, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. You've probably heard preachers, if you've been around church any at all, very much at all, you've heard lots of preachers preach to us about this parable of the lost son, this younger son that gathered everything together and took his journey to the far country. There was something over there pulling on him. Even before he received his inheritance, if it would have been in our generation, he would have had friends that already left the safety of their father's house and made the crossing across the border over into the far country. He's already been receiving texts and emails and Instagram, Snapchat photos. Come on now. And they've all got a big smile on. And they're all living it up. And they're telling him about their new liberty and their new freedom. Praise God. Amen. And that far country, the spirit of that far country grips his heart. Dissatisfied with home life. He becomes dissatisfied with what mom and dad are putting on the table. Amen. His life falls into a rut. Even in the safety of the father's house, it becomes ritualistic and routine, and he's got his belly full of it.
He
said, "Dad, give me what's coming to me. At your end, could you go ahead and give it to me now?" Bible said he gave that son his inheritance, or it teaches us that he divided unto them his living. Just a little while went by, and the truth of the reasoning of that younger son comes out in the open for all the world to see. Only reason he wanted that wealth, only reason he wanted that inheritance, was so he could gather all together and make his journey over across that border into that far country where his friends was living it up. Amen. No rules, no restraint, no curfew. Come on, say amen. They're living it up over there. And that spirit got a hold of him. And if you've been around church in a length of time, I'm not going to linger here long. I want to get on to this elder brother. That's where I want to preach to you. We've preached about the young boy's rebellion. We've preached about, amen, him being headstrong. We've preached about him wasting all of his substance on righteous living. I thought it was interesting that the Holy Ghost preserved it just the way he did for you and I. The Bible never said he wasted all of his money. It said very specifically he wasted his substance on righteous living. Amen. If he'd have been a good southern boy when he crossed over into that far country, they mocked him, brother. They would have laughed at him because when he first got there, it was yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. He didn't talk like they talked, but after spending a little while over across that border, he talked just like all the rest of them. When he first arrived, he didn't dress the way they dress, but after he spent a little while there, amen, he started looking just like all the rest of them. Amen, he wasted his substance. He gave up his character. He traded his integrity. He left his morals behind. And like Lot, he became just like the land he's living in. Man, man, man. He was having a big time, brother. Till all that substance run out, all that money was gone. And famine came. The Bible said he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Isn't that just like the devil? Lure you out away from the blessings of God and then drop you when the heat is on. Ain't that what the devil done to him? Promise you the world. They told me the story. I read it somewhere along the line. Somebody famous, I can't remember exactly who it was. Maybe some of you will remember reading it somewhere. They said he lay a dying on his deathbed, and he was a backslider that walked away from God and began to fight against God, almost as if he had become an atheist and didn't believe in God. They said when he lay a dying, he called all of his children together, and as they stood over that dying man, he said, "Sons, daughters, you tell the world it does pay to serve the devil, but you tell everybody he pays off in counterfeit money." Come on, say amen. It does pay, but it's counterfeit. It's empty. It's useless. That's what that boy started feeling. Just how useless and futile and empty it was. Amen. To live such a righteous life. Amen. The Bible said, in that famine, when he got so hungry, he joined himself to a citizen of that country that mocked his good Jewish heritage, gave him a job in the field feeding swine. He sunk about as low as anybody that knew anything at all about God from his part of the world could have sunk. The Bible said he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. But Brother Donnie Smith, the Bible said he came to himself. He said, "Wait a minute. You know what?" He got to thinking about the father's house. He got to thinking about the servants over at dad's house. They didn't live in the farmhouse. They lived in the servants' quarters over on the backside of the plantation. But he remembered he grew up with their children. He sat around their table and ate with them. He said, "Wait a minute. Even the servants at my father's house have bread enough and to spare. And here I perish with hunger. Satisfied. It ain't what I thought it was going to be." And he got up, Brother Pierce, and he made his way back home to his father's house. And I love, I didn't mean to go this long in this, but I love this. Evidently that father was looking, waiting on that boy to return, because the Bible said while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He recognized this silhouette coming down the road. Come on now. He recognized the gait of his walk. Hallelujah. Hey, that's my baby boy. That's the one I've been praying for. That's the one I've been believing God to send home. That's the one I've been watching for of an evening. Amen. Standing out on the porch. Amen. And you know what the Bible said? That dad ran down to meet him, and he fell upon his neck, and he kissed him. I looked at him. You know what it said in the Greek? He smothered him with kisses. Come on. He didn't give him a little peck on the cheek. He kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him again. Boy, I'm glad you're home. I'm so glad to see you. And he lifted up his voice and he said, "Kill the fatted calf. Bring me a new robe. Bring me some shoes. Put a ring on his finger." Hallelujah. Now, they kill that fatted calf and a great celebration begins. And that's when it happened. That elder brother's coming home from the field. It's where he's been all day working, laboring for the father, trying to keep the farm going. When he gets close, he hears the sound of music. I want to talk to us about this elder brother. But before I do, I want you to understand, before I can say anything negative about this elder brother, I believe God showed me some very good qualities that this elder brother had. Amen. There's some good things that must be said about him before we immediately begin to cast judgment upon him. Number one, I can tell by reading through the scripture that this elder brother was diligent.
Amen. He was a diligent young man. He was coming back from the field when all of this happened. Keep in mind the prodigal son, the baby brother. He was returning from the far country. He was returning from riotous living. He was returning from wasting all of his substance. He was returning from a life of debauchery. But not this elder brother. He had remained diligent. Amen. He stayed in the field and he worked and labored. Come on now. He'd been busy on the father's farm since early that morning, looking after everything that was his responsibility.
He was diligent. Come on now. Not only was he diligent, but he was faithful. That's right. You can say what you want to, but if I'm reading this right, I'm going to preach like this. He had every opportunity to leave with baby brother and cross over that border into that far. I'm telling you, they could have been the dynamic duo. They could have turned that far country upside down for a little while. Come on here. No doubt that conversation must have took place when baby brother made his mind to, hey, why don't you come with me, big brother? Listen, what they're telling me it's like over there in that far country. There's more wine than you're able to drink. There's food buffet bars everywhere you look. Hey, man, there's anything your heart could desire, anything you could lust for and crave, you can get it. They're giving it away over there in the far country. But you know what elder brother said? He said, you're speaking like a fool, boy. I'm going to stay with dad. And I'm going to be faithful to the father. Come on, say amen. Amen. Listen, he stayed on the farm and he worked hard and he labored. When little brother left, he stayed.
He was a faithful young man. Yes, he was. It's not hard for me to imagine that he could have even took on twice the work just to keep up the empty spot that baby brother left when he left. Not only was he faithful, but brother, he was obedient. Jesus is telling the story, and Jesus put the words in that elder brother's mouth when he's speaking to the Father. Amen. He says in verse 29, I've never transgressed against you. I've done everything you said do right when you said do it. I didn't kick against it. I didn't fight against it. Come on now. I've never transgressed against you. You know what he said? He said, these many years. Come on now. Ever since I've been old enough to understand, Dad, I've done exactly what you said to do when you said to do it. Come on now, don't you forget. Jesus is preaching to one congregation, but there's two very distinct crowds in that one congregation. And I'll tell you something, the gospel's not a screen, folks, but the gospel is a net. The gospel's not designed to keep folks out. It's designed to catch them and pull them in. Come on, say amen. Jesus was concerned about everybody in both groups.
He's preached about the wandering lamb, and he's cast the net out throughout the lifeline for those sinners and publicans that have wandered away from God's law. He's talked about the coin lost in the house. Now he's going to throw out a lifeline for these scribes, for these Pharisees. Remember, Jesus is telling the story, and he has a way of seeing things that nobody else can see. With his eyes like a flaming fire, he penetrates to the recesses of our heart. He knows what motivates us. He knows the things that move us. Come on, say amen. Not only does he see the disasters of men's souls, amen, but he deals with them because he loves us. Come on, shout amen. He looks into the secret places of the heart and he sees the real man. And in Luke the 15th chapter, he reveals the heart of that elder brother to you and me. We see the heart of the elder brother for what it really is. And don't you forget for a minute, he sees your heart too. And he sees my heart. We can do little things and tweak our lifestyles, and we can wear certain things. I'm telling you, if you're gonna work at McDonald's, you better not show up with a Burger King ball cap on. You got to wear the McDonald's uniform. Ain't that right? You join the army, you join the military, it don't matter. Listen, I'll just talk to my generation. If you're a queer, if you're a lesbian, if you're homosexual, if you're a boy, if you're a girl, if you join the military, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get their haircut just like they say get it. You're going to wear the clothes they give you, the shoes they give you. You're going to get up when they say get up. You're going to eat when they say eat. You're going to run when they say run. You're going to sleep when they say sleep. Come on and help me, somebody, because you're not your own anymore. You belong to Uncle Sam. My oldest boy is a preacher. He got a job years ago when he first got into the workforce. Got him a part-time job at Lowe's Foods. Y'all have them as far east? Lowe's Foods is kind of like a food line. And he got a job there. His Church of God brother in town that is the big manager of Lowe's Foods. My boy talked to him about working there, and he gave my boy a job. He'd been there a few weeks, maybe even a month or two. And he showed up at Lowe's Foods one day. Had his Lowe's Foods uniform on. Had his Lowe's Foods apron on with a little logo. Amen. Embroidered across the front of it. Amen. Had his Lowe's Foods cap on his head. But he walked through the front door of Lowe's Foods with his ham sandwiches in a Walmart bag. And guess who he run right into as soon as them doors closed behind him? There's his manager. His manager stopped him and said, "Josh, what are you doing, son?" He said, "I'm going to the back to punch in. It's time for my shift." He said, "What's that you got in your hand?" He said, "This is my sandwiches for lunch." He said, "What kind of bags that you got them in, son?" He said, "This is a Walmart. It's a Walmart bag." And his manager raked his hide over the coals for dragging old filthy, nasty Walmart bag into Lowe's Foods. Come on now. You know what he made him do? You know what he told him? Now, Josh, about 16 years old at that time, he said, "Here's what you're going to do, son. You're going to go over there and throw that Walmart bag in the trash can where it belongs, and you get over at that register and you get you a good crisp Lowe's bag, and you put them sandwiches in that Lowe's bag, and then you can go and punch in." Come on, say amen. Come on here. Amen. Listen, we have to do all of that for the people of the world. Why should we do any less for the kingdom of God? Can you shout amen? If you're going to belong to him, if you're going to live for him, it's going to be his way, amen, not yours. It's going to be his way, not yours. Jesus looks into that elder brother's heart, and he looks into our heart on a daily basis. And just like the elder brothers revealed before us in the text, we are revealed before him every day. Come on, say amen. I wanted to preach to us some things that God preached to me some time ago. Let's ponder some of these things together. I've told you the positive things I've seen about the elder brother. Amen. He was diligent, he was faithful, and he was obedient. But now let's look just a little deeper. I'm going to preach to you. He was a man who was unappreciative of his privilege. Come on now. He had became like so many in our last day has became. The Bible predicted or prophesied through the Apostle Paul that men would become unthankful, unholy. Come on now. He lost his appreciation for his privilege. This kind of person, it don't take you long being around the crowd to pick out this kind of person. Because if they're unthankful, usually they're grudge bearers. Usually because of their unthankfulness, they become unholy. Oh, they may have on a uniform. I'll tell you something. When I was a little younger, I couldn't do it now. But when I was a little younger, I'll tell you what I could have done. I could have went to the Army surplus store. I could have bought me a Marine uniform. I could have went down around Jacksonville, got me a good jarhead hairdo. Come on now. I could have walked
walked up and down the streets of that town and convinced everybody I met nearly, I am a soldier. Come on here. Amen. But listen, if you're talking about being a soldier, you got to have more than something on the outside. Amen. Listen, it ain't the uniform that makes you a soldier. You got to be trained. I said you got to be trained. Praise God, you got to get the heart of a soldier.
I never forget, I was preaching in Prattville, Alabama years ago, just outside of Montgomery. There was an old gentleman in the service. He was actually a part of that congregation. I got to preaching on being a standard bearer. And he just got beside himself. That military training kicked in. He jumped, I'm telling you, he was in his late 70s at the time. That military training kicked in. He jumped up and grabbed an American flag. He got to marching around the church. Well, that American flag, come on, say amen. I'm preaching on lifting up the standard. Come on now. He marched and shouted and kicked and bucked and talked in tongues. And after a while, he come put that American flag down. And he went over. He got to weeping. He put his hands on the pole of that Christian flag. Come on here. And he lifted it up. Amen. He shouted and bucked, danced and kicked and run. And had himself a big time lifting up that standard. I'll never forget his testimony at the end of that service. He had been, amen, in the war in Korea. And he said these words. He said, I'll never forget when I went through my basic. They had to shine up our boots and put on our dress uniform. Them buttons had to shine this right. Them boots had to shine this right. We had on what he called his Sunday best. Come on now. He said they sent letters and made phone calls to our family members. And on graduation day, they put us to marching out there on that parade ground. He said the bleachers was full of our families cheering us on. He said I felt like a soldier.
He said, but when all that was over, they put me on a big airplane and they flew me to Korea and dropped me off. He said, didn't too many days go by, I found myself in a foxhole with somebody I'd never even met before. He said bombs was bursting. People was dying. Bullets was whizzing by. Come on here. He said, I come to this conclusion. A soldier's never made on the parade ground. A soldier's made on the battlefield. Can you shout amen right here, somebody? Amen. Listen, you can walk around, amen, like that elder brother did, and you can pretend to be better than everybody in this place. Amen. You can be a spiritual peacock and spread your tail feathers, amen, and strut in and out of this place, amen, like nobody here is as holy as you. But God sees your heart, amen, and it ain't that uniform that's going to make you a soldier. It's time on the battlefield. That's what will make a soldier out of us. Unthankful, unappreciative. That kind of person is bitter. Grudge bearers. That root of bitterness finds a resting place inside of them. It begins to entangle itself around their heart. And when it springs up, the Bible said that root of bitterness will defile many. Come on now. Imagine this elder son is in the father's company every day. All the blessings of the father are bestowed upon him. The father's love constantly surrounds him. All the father has is his. But instead of enjoying all of that privilege, he's ungrateful for what he's got. Huh? Oh, I've seen too much of that in me.
His ungratefulness, amen, showed up in bitterness in verse 29. Let me read it to you again. In verse 29, it just jumps right out of him. He answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You've killed the fatted calf for that backslid, wandering baby boy. I've heard you pray for him, request prayer for him, seek the
face of God for him. I've watched in the evenings when I'd be returning from the field, just lingering in the front yard, looking down the road, hoping to catch a glimpse of him. As good as I've been to you, Dad. Woo, I feel like preaching a little holiness right here. As much as I've done for you, I stayed right here and did what you said do. I've been faithful, I've been diligent, I've been obedient, and you wouldn't even give me a baby goat so I could have me a barbecue with my buddies. Bitterness, ungrateful, unthankful. Come on, say amen. Well, it don't take you long to find them around the Holiness Church. They're the ones nothing's ever right. The sound's always too loud. It's always too cold or too hot. Hey, amen. We don't like the light bulbs you bought. It's too bright in here. It ain't bright enough in here. You know, that'd be beautiful if it was pine. I really don't like cedar. Come on now. Hey, amen. He'd be a pretty good preacher if he didn't spit so much and sweat so much and hack so much. Come on now. I'd enjoy the service if he wasn't so long-winded. Unthankful. Unappreciative. Ungrateful. Huh? Oh, God, help me right here. Oh, I don't have time to get ungrateful. I remember driving around that little Vega. It was, for lack of a better word, it was puke yellow. I hope that's legal. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you. That's just, it's just, I mean, it was egg yolk yellow. I paid $75 for it. And I went straight to Napa and bought a whole case of oil and put it in the back floorboard. Come on now. And every time I pumped gas, I poured oil. Come on, say amen. When I needed tires, I'd go to the used tire man and I'd buy the $10 ones. Come on, say amen. We call them May Pops in my part of the country because they may pop just any time. That's right. I remember them days, brother. I remember working week after week after week and didn't have 30 cents to put in a Pepsi machine to buy me a drink at lunch when everybody else was enjoying theirs. I was getting me a cup of water out of the water fountain. I remember them days. Come on, say amen. Amen. Listen, I remember. Listen. Amen. We've got a Jeep Grand Cherokee sitting out there. And don't you get sideways with me. This ain't prosperity preaching. Don't tell you I'm running on $1,000 Michelins. You hear me? Amen. My master has been good to me. My father has blessed me. Hey, listen. We first got married. She made hamburger helper until I despise it to this day. I hate hamburger helper. Come on. If you have us over, please, I'll eat it. But please, for my sake, please don't serve hamburger helper. It's about like Israel is almost running out of my nose. You know, back in, hamburger was cheap. I toted bologna sandwiches to work while them other boys was going to Pizza Hut and McDonald's. Come on, say amen. I was eating, I couldn't afford to do no better. Listen, you come too late to tell me I don't have anything to be grateful for. My father's blessed me. Hey, but I ain't done much for him, but he sure has done an awful lot for me. Come on, say amen. If he wants me in the field from daylight till dark, I couldn't do enough to repay him for all he's blessed me. I feel the Holy Ghost for all he's blessed me with. Praise God. He's been good to me. Has he been good to you? Paul said, in the last days they would become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Said they would be lovers of their own selves. Right in that big long list of terrible things mankind would become, he put this, they would be unthankful. How about you? Have you thanked him one time today? Come on here now. Woo! Praise God! Thanked him one time today for how he's blessed you Bless your family. Don't tell you something, I feel like saying this right here. You may still be in the Vega pouring just about as much oil as you are pumping gas. And you may be toting bologna sandwiches to the workplace and drinking out of the water fountain. Let me preach to you. Hold on. Just a little longer. Be faithful. Serve him. Pay your tithe. Be faithful to church. Give your offerings. Come on, say amen. And watch God bless you. Watch him help you. Watch him make a way for you. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands and give the Lord a good praise here. Oh God. Thank God for your obedience. Thank God for your faithfulness. You've never left and went to the far country. Thank God, amen, for all the obedience in your life, the diligence in your life. But with all of that, guard your heart against becoming unappreciative and unthankful for who you are. Oh, God. Brother Jenkins, our Church of God pastor, used to get out and pray. I'd be in the prayer room with him sometimes. He'd get out and pray a lot of times. He'd start out like this: God, I thank you for who you are and whose I am. Come on now. Woo! I'm glad for who he is, but I'm glad for whose I am. I'm his. Come on, say amen. That Syrophoenician woman said, I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. Praise God. I still belong to you. Hallelujah. I'm glad for whose I am. Listen, don't become unthankful. I've got to preach on. Not only was he unthankful, but he had a hard heart toward his own brother. Diligent, yes. Obedient, yes. Faithful, yes. But hard. I want you to notice one thing that makes it plain in the scripture. The word brother never falls from the lips of the elder son in describing the baby boy. The word brother had been removed from his vocabulary long ago after that baby boy left and brought such a disgrace on the family. Come on here. Brother was gone from his lips because he had ripped brother out of his heart. Come on now. Oh, I'm glad to be able to call some of you brother and sister. That's a term of endearment. Hallelujah. My fleshly brother, it wasn't but just me and him, and he was 4 years younger than me when he was 36 years old. He got burned up in a house fire, and he had to go on to stand before God. I don't have another brother in the flesh, but thank God I've got some spiritual brothers. I've got some spiritual sisters. Come on here. And when I call you brother, amen, listen, I don't just call everybody brother and everybody sister. You probably the same way, ain't you? Amen. It means something. It's a term of endearment. It speaks of togetherness and unity. Praise God. Amen. But the word brother never fell from his lips. Verse 30, listen to what he said. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He was obedient, faithful, diligent, but he had become so unthankful that it made him hard. Holiness people, I'll tell you something. That sorry devil don't care which side ditch he pushes you off the highway of holiness. Don't matter if it's the left-hand ditch of liberalism, living loose and compromising, or the right-hand ditch of pharisaicalism, legalism. Come on now. How many knows you cannot legislate holiness? Holiness got to be birthed in a man's heart, got to be born in a woman's heart. Holiness begins with a blood-washed regeneration experience. You can say, listen, I hope you won't disagree with me. All I can do is preach to you what I've read in the Bible and what I've experienced in my own life. If a man or a woman really gets born again, it won't matter if they're born in the Baptist church or the Methodist church or in a cornfield or a backer patch. Come on, say amen. If they really get saved, God will begin to draw them to holy living. Every time. And those that don't follow him in holiness, if they really got saved, they come to a crossroads. And they had to make the choice. Am I going to go on for God, or I'm going to go my way? Sad, sad. A lot of people this generation are choosing their own way, or the way of the doctrine or the discipline of their church. Come on, say amen. And a lot of people in our generation in the holiness church have got so hard. Now, don't you run away from here and tell me, you know, Brother Tig come to our church and slandered the standards. I believe in holiness. I believe you know that. I think you've got enough confidence in your pastor. If he didn't think I was striving to be holy, he and the Holy Ghost that lives in him would have never allowed him to invite me to come. Come on now. Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's right. He won't let you believe a lie. Come on, say amen. It'll come out sooner or later. Come on, say amen to me. As soon as this thy son was come. Had a friend of mine tell me the story. He went to evangelizing. He had pastored for many, many years. He pastored the church his dad planted. When his daddy died, he felt the pressure of the people wanting him to pastor, and he promised God, you know, whether you agree with him or not, he made a vow before God. God, I'll spend 7 years here at least. Try to honor my dad, honor my mother. Now, the majority of that church, or a great number in that church, was his family. He pastored there, and it was a great, great success. God blessed him. God helped him. When I preached for him years ago, he's running way up above 100 people. And after those 7 years, he felt like God released him from that. You know, ever how we feel about that, that ain't the point of my story anyway. He started evangelizing for a little while. He's pastoring again now. But while he was evangelizing, he got a call from across the country from a brother who has a reputation of being strict. That's not a bad reputation to have, as long as you're not hard and hateful and heady and so holy you're unapproachable. Come on, say amen. That's not really holiness at all. This man had the reputation of being strict. My friend was looking forward, he and his wife both, to going and preaching for this man because he had a backslid daughter. And my friend and his wife had grew up with his daughter, went to youth camps with her, camp meetings. And so my friend is going to preach for this man in high hopes and expectation of maybe being able to win that girl back to Christ. She's a full-grown woman now. She's backslid away from God. The whole week came and went. Last night a revival came. She never came to the church. Last night a revival came and went. And after service that night, the pastor had my friend and his wife over to the parsonage. They're sitting in the kitchen at the table fellowshipping and eating maybe a sandwich or something. There's a knock on the door of the parsonage. The door swings open, and in walks the backslid daughter. The dad who pastors the church is sitting with his back to the door. He turns and he looks and sees who it is that just walked in. And he turns back and he looks across the table at my friend. And he said, "There she is. I guess you can just look at her and tell how backslid she is." I'll tell you something. That don't impress me a lick. I ain't going to tell you who that fella is, but I know who he is. And I don't care if he ever asks me to come preach. And if he does, I might just say no. Don't everybody shout at once here. That ain't on you anyway. That's on me. Come on now. I might just tell him no. Well, if you can't have a burden for your own child,
How in the world are you going to have a burden for people you don't even know? Huh? If you can't be long-suffering with your own child. My friend said that girl just kind of put her head down, shut the door behind her, made her way into the kitchen, walked around the table, shaking hands, hugging necks, never pulled out a chair, never sat down, stayed just a mighty few minutes, and made her exit. Huh? Oh, God. Oh, God. You better be holy, but you better not be hard. Holiness, you've heard it. You've heard it. Some folks have heard it until it makes them sick on their stomach. I hope you ain't one of them, because I'm going to say it again here tonight. Holiness is not hardness. Come on, say amen. Hank, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for these fellas trying to outdo one another. If they find out you don't drink Pepsi, they'll quit drinking everything but water and sweet milk. Come on, say amen. Come on now. They just want to be just a little bit higher than you are. Come on now. I don't have time for that business. Listen, let's stay in the Bible and let's love everybody. Let's try to get folks to heaven. Let's try to get somebody saved. Come on, say amen. That elder brother was so heady and so hard. Amen. He couldn't even say son. He couldn't even say brother. But he said in verse 30, this thy son. Oh God. Oh God. That elder brother was hard. No concern, no love, no joy. He should have ran inside and enjoyed the blessings of the fatted calf with everybody else. He should have shouted and danced and worshiped God. He should have been so thankful that that baby boy didn't die lost over there in that far country. But instead of rejoicing, he wouldn't even go in. He walked in. He walked out of that field. He come across the backyard. He hears music. He sees folks dancing out back. Big fire built up. He starts smelling that fatted calf barbecuing over that fire. He asked one of the servants, what does this mean? He said, your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received your brother, his son, safe and sound. He's having a big celebration, man. Go wash your hands. Get on in there. Let's party. Let's celebrate. He rolled his lip out and he began to pout. And he stomped up a little bit closer. And he got to talking, this ain't fair. This ain't right. I've been here working from daylight to dark, day after day, month after month, while he's been over there blowing daddy's money, bringing a reproach on the family. And here I've been, faithful to the Father, diligent in my work, obedient to the commandment of the Father. Who's he think he is? Coming and going like he wants to. He forfeited his right to this place when he left and wasted his substance over in the far country. Come on, I feel like preaching to us here for a little while tonight. You know what you ought to learn to do? You ought to learn to rejoice when the backslider comes home. It doesn't matter how many times they've been in and out and on and off. If they come to the altar and pray, you ought to rejoice with them. Praise God. I said you ought to be thankful that God is still reaching for them. I've got to hurry along. I've been too long-winded this week. Hard. Hard. I want to preach this last point. Not only was he unappreciative and hard, but evidently he had lost his connection with the Father. He lived under the same roof. Always, every day, in the presence of the Father. He ate beside of him, washed his hands in the same basin bowl, drawed up his water out of the same well. Come on now. But in his heart, he was a million miles away from the heart of that Father. I asked myself, Lord, which one was the real prodigal anyway? Was it the boy that gathered up everything and left and went and lived it up for a little while and then decided to come back? Or was it the one who stayed and obeyed but lost out in his heart and became bitter and hateful and hard? Huh? I want you to see this. Never, ever forget, Christ is preaching to one congregation, two different groups. There's folks that are lost that know how lost they are, but there's other folks there that are lost that don't even realize they're lost. Now he's reaching for both of them. He tells the ones that understand just where they are, the Father sent me here, lost lamb, to come to this wilderness looking for you. Now I'm not going to quit till I got you on my shoulders and I take you back rejoicing. Don't listen. Some of you that's been lost in the house, the light has come. I am the light of the world. I'm going to sweep this house till I find you. When I find you, I'm going to call a big crowd together and we're going to rejoice. But wait a minute. A little lost boy that had it so good in his father's house and decided it wasn't good enough and left. I'm waiting on you. All you've got to do is make you turn around and come back to the Father. And the Father's got a robe waiting on you. He got a fatted calf stalled in hopes that you'll soon return. But wait a minute, wait a minute. Elder brother that stayed in the Father's house. Amen. That's been faithful and diligent and obedient. But you've got unthankful and bitter and hard. And you've lost your connection with the Father. I'm here for you too. He loves you just as much as he loves any of the rest of them. I've seen that younger boy come home. And the father ran out to meet him. And he did the same thing with the elder brother. He's mad and he won't come into the celebration. He was angry. Would not go in. Bible said, therefore came his father out and entreated him. Yes, praise God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I wasn't raised. We didn't use words like entreat in the house I was raised in. So I wanted to know. What did that mean? I found out it means to beseech. It's been translated as beseech. In other portions of Scripture, that word beseech or entreat can mean beg, to plead with, or to exhort, to desire, or to call near. He begged him. He pleaded with him. Don't act this way. Please, this is a special day. Don't you let this spirit pull you away from us. Your baby brother's finally home. I don't know if I can bear to lose you now. He entreated him. Praise God. And I saw it. I saw it. If you'll just look at it when you get home. Luke 15. I've got to close, but I saw it in verse 30 in our King James Bible. The Bible said, but as soon as this thy son was come. That's the elder brother talking to the father about his brother. He said, this thy son. That word son, S-O-N, is spelled with a lowercase s. But in verse 31, notice the father's speaking. And he tells the elder son, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And I don't know, it just caught my attention. That word son is spelled with a capital S. And you know, a lot of times that's talking about Jesus. But Jesus is telling the story. Couldn't have been talking about him. And I got to digging and looking through some of my books. If what they've told me is right, you know what? That word son in the original language as spoken by the elder brother. But as soon as this thy son was come, that word son had various different meanings. You could use that word to describe an animal. A calf, a cow, a baby horse. Come on now. Amen. But this word son as used by the father in verse 31 only has one translation, just one interpretation. He said, son, all that I have is thine. That word son always, always means child. Come on now. You may have quit your brother, but I ain't gonna quit you. You my baby just like he is. Son, don't do this to yourself. Son, don't do this to the family. You're patting over a baby goat and a barbecue with your friends.
friends. Don't you realize all that I have is thine? Amen. Don't you remember in verse 12, the Bible said that day he divided unto them his living. The baby boy took his and left. So everything left belonged to that elder brother.
He could have killed that whole flock of goats and had a big party if he wanted to. They was his anyway. He could have killed the fatted calf and his mommy and the bull and the whole herd. Come on here. They were his anyway. He didn't have enough sight to see it. Didn't have enough sight to see it. Boy, I'm going to preach on that one of these days. Our Father tells us, all that I have is thine. Whew. Stand with me, would you? I wanted to know. I saw this elder brother, too much of him alive in me. Now I'll just go ahead and confess this. In my study, I was reading through this, and God dealt with me. It took a long time. It took more than just a day or two. It took a long time. God whittling away at me and chipping away at me and humbling me and trying to get me to pray through things that he was revealing in my life. And when I was thinking about this elder brother, early one morning I got up and I started my Bible reading. I was going to read somewhere else and try to get away from this. I seemed like I was just getting bogged down in my mind with this elder brother, and I'm struggling, I'm wrestling, I'm trying to kill him inside of me. I don't want to be heady. I don't want to be super duper. Huh? I don't. I don't want to be hard and hateful. I don't want to be that old, if the Lord tarries, I don't want to be the old man in the church that all the young people avoid. Because he's always grumbling about what they got on, where they've been going. Huh? Always grumbling about their hairdo. Come on now. I don't want to be that old man. I want to be the holy old man that's firm in what he believes, but tender in how he hands it out. I want to be sweet like honey from the honeycomb. Salty, make them thirsty for what I got abiding on the inside of me. That ain't compromise. You can say what you want to. That ain't compromise. I learned a long time ago it's a lot easier to run folks off than it is to win them to holiness. And I have almost, you'll understand this, this is an exaggeration. Almost put marks on the microphone. Come on now. They didn't want holiness anyway. Good riddance. Boy, did you see him wiggling when I got to tightening up on his hide? All these things I'm thinking of as a young preacher. And if it wiggled, you know, I did a lot of brush pile preaching. When I was a boy, if you wanted to kill a rabbit or anything that lived in the brush pile, you just get your shotgun, climb up on the brush pile, and jump up and down. That's why if something's going to run out of it, boom! I've done some preaching like that. I ain't proud of it. I hope you don't think that's the kind of preaching I'm doing tonight. I opened my Bible that morning trying to escape the condemnation I'm feeling in my heart for playing the part of the elder brother. And where you think I opened up to? Jesus at Simon the Pharisee's house. And the woman weeping, washing his feet, and anointing him and kissing his feet. And Simon sitting in his seat so judgmental. Yeah. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. Oh, yeah. For she is a sinner. I fell down and prayed, God, kill the Simon in me. Let that elder brother die in me. Baptize me with the love of the Father. Fill me with the compassion of the Father. Don't let me drift. away from the heart of the Father. When I got to the end of this, I asked myself, is the triumph of this story that Jesus pictures the Father loving the baby brother after his debauchery and sinfulness, or he loved the elder brother after his hatefulness and selfishness? I felt like God dealt with me. And I believe what the Master's teaching here is that God loves everybody. He's concerned about the religious folks that are so religious they can't see him. He's concerned about the sinner folks that are lost and know just how lost they are. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. I know I've been long here.